welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. Mark Lavonier, your host for an hour of horror. Later on, Armed Forces Radio presents Macabre, but right now a grisly story on the witch's tale called The Devil's Number, from May 2nd, 1938.
The Witch's Tale. The fascination of the eerie, weird, blood-chilling tales told by old Nancy, the Witch of Salem, and Satan, her wise black cat. They're waiting for you now.
Old I be today. Yes, sir. 103-year-old. Well, Satan, me and you'd better plan to spin these folks a pretty little yarn tonight. Douse all them lights. That's it. Make it nice and dark and cheerful when you hears our bedtime stories. Now, draw up to the fire and gaze into the embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon you'll see the dining room of a fine old house in England. And there, on the evening of the 13th of May, begins our yarn about the devil's number. The devil's number!
There's coffee and liqueurs in the East Room, Peters. You'll be more comfortable there.
Yes, sir.
Permit me to lead the way, Mrs. Oliver.
Certainly. What a wonderfully huge place you have here, Mr. Rockwell. Harry, don't you wish that our home had so many rooms that we'd be compelled to designate them by points of the compass?
I'm not sure that I do when I think of Mr. Rockwell's yearly cost for upkeep.
When my original ancestor built the place in 1512 and other ancestors later enlarged it, they had a very poor regard for a 20th century descendant who'd have to bear its expense in depreciated currency. Here we are. Take this chair, Mrs. Oliver.
Thank you. This house was built in 1512, you say? My, that's over 400 years ago.
Yes, its lack of modern conveniences attest to that. You know, I'm offering you very poor hospitality in exchange for the jolly entertainment you afforded me at this time last year.
Poor hospitality? After that dinner?
Well, anyone can feed his friends. But you fed me in such a delightfully original manner.
Original?
Don't you remember? By a coincidence, today's day and date are precisely similar, except for the month.
You were at my anti-superstition party.
Yes, with 13 at table, and you compelled everyone to break a mirror.
And to spill salt.
And to enter the dining room, we had to walk under a ladder.
Of course you were at that mad affair.
I shall never forget it. I've gone about knocking on wood ever since. Well, I'm only joking about being superstitious, of course. Although it's bred in my British bones.
There's the coffee and the cure, sir.
Oh, yes.
Will there be something else now, Mr. Rockwell?
Not for the present. I'll ring if I want you.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's a darn funny thing that we should visit your place for the first time on Friday the 13th, as you first visited us. The coincidence never occurred to me until you mentioned it.
I thought of it when I drove you down from London.
If we hadn't been detained in Liverpool, we'd have begun our visit yesterday, as we'd planned.
Perhaps the hoodoos I made you attempt last year arranged the coincidence.
I scarcely think the hoodoos will harm us after this long time. But perhaps we should light a bonfire to keep them at a distance.
Light a bonfire?
Yes. Evil spirits are afraid of fire. If you look out that window, you'll see several fires which my tenants have lighted for their protection.
Your tenants? You mean modern English farmers believe seriously in the ill fortune of this day?
Whether they believe seriously or not, they take no chances. Do you know the basis for its ill fame?
Why? Because Friday was the day of crucifixion.
Yes, when evil triumphed over good, and the devil over God. 13 is the devil's number, because he was the chief of each convene of witches and wizards, which always numbered 12 in addition to himself.
Now, you've been holding out on us, Bert. We never dreamed that you were an authority on folklore.
Oh, dear me, I'm not. I'm only the merest dabbler. But it is an interesting subject, don't you think?
Most interesting, particularly for today.
Would you like to see a concrete example of the 13 superstition?
A concrete example?
Yes. But first, you must assure me that you're not at all squeamish.
Not I.
Then come this way. Oh, Peters. Peters?
Yes, sir.
Fetch me a lamp or a lantern, will you?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm taking you to the unused portion of the house. You're sure you won't mind looking at human bones, Mrs. Oliver?
Human bones?
Very old ones. They've been in the house for nearly three centuries.
You keep bones in the house?
Well, they belong to an ancestor of mine. He was such a wicked old chap, the church wouldn't permit his remains to be buried in consecrated ground, so we had to find a resting place for them somewhere. Besides, he wanted them to be here.
Here's a lantern, sir.
Oh, thank you, Peters.
You're going into the old part, sir?
That's where we're headed.
Not towards the North Tower, sir.
Yes, to the crypt of old Eric.
Please don't go in there, sir. Not tonight, Mr. Rockwell.
If the old wizard starts any trouble, Peters, we'll shout and let you know.
But, Mr. Rockwell...
Come along, you two, who want to learn about superstition.
Mr. Rockwell, wait. Take this.
Oh, must I carry that prodigious weapon with me?
You've promised me you always will when you go in there, sir. Please.
Oh, very well. I'll take it now. Come along, open the door.
Yes, sir.
Give me your hand, dear. It's pretty dark in here.
Yes.
I'll leave the door open, sir, and stand here waiting, if you need me.
All right, Peters.
Your butler doesn't approve of this expedition, apparently.
No, he doesn't like the North Tower and old Eric.
Why did he insist you carry that huge revolver?
Well, he always does when I visit the old parts. He has it loaded with dum-dum bullets.
Dum-dum?
Yes, they're ordinary lead or steel-jacketed bullets, crisscrossed with a knife across the nose to make them spread on impact. Someday I shall tell him that only silver bullets are of any use against ghosts.
Ghosts?
Or disciples of witchcraft.
Now, what on earth are you taking us to see?
Merely some old bones. Watch your step. The floors aren't very sound in here. There's a lot of rubbish to fall over.
Now, you're working up to some sort of a practical joke leading us into this darkness.
No, upon my word, I'm not. No, really. Although I do owe your wife some retaliation for having made me walk under ladders and break mirrors.
I've never been in such a spooky place.
Nor I. These old halls beat any haunted castle I've ever read about in books.
The shadows cast upon them by Mr. Rockwell's bobbing lantern are giving me the shivers.
Me too. You're getting your revenge for Judith's superstition party, Bert. But tell us about this ancestor of yours whose bones we're going to see.
Wait till we reach his resting place. The tale will be more effective then. Here we are. Now, his remains are enclosed in that little iron chest.
In the niche in that wall?
Yes. I'll open his tiny coffin.
Oh!
Here, you see all that is still earthly of Eric Rockwell, my many times great-grandfather, who was burnt at the stake by order of King James I for witchcraft.
Burnt at the stake?
For witchcraft?
Yes. Members of the family bribed the official executioners and were allowed to reclaim these bones from the ashes. They sifted so diligently that only the bones of a single foot escaped their pious search. Otherwise, the skeleton of the old scoundrel lies intact within this iron box.
Why do you keep them here?
Well, I've already explained that the church refused to allocate hallowed ground for his remnants. That Eric's bones were not consumed together with his flesh was considered extremely unfortunate at the time, for it was commonly believed that they would enable him to live again.
People believe such rot as that?
People still believe it. Oh, wait till you hear all this story. Gather round me, my children, and listen. The old gentleman whose skull and assorted bones lie before us in these pretty shadows had great supernatural power. According to incontestable records, he was born in the year of 1514. He was executed in 1623.
When he was over 100 years old.
When he was 109 years old. But when he was led to the stake, he didn't look a day over 40.
Bert, are you making all this up?
Not a word of it. However, let's hear the rest of Eric's history. At his trial, it was proven that he'd murdered no less than 8 young girls.
He'd murdered?
Yes, for their blood, which he used as ingredients for a rejuvenating elixir which enabled him to defy old age.
Well, that's crazy.
I know it is, but according to the records, it worked.
But how?
Well, that the judges didn't learn. They learned he had lured young women to this house so that they might later become his victims, however.
It seems he, in some way, managed to secure 13 drops of their blood, after which they became his slaves and did whatever he wished.
13 drops of blood?
The devil's number. The number which makes people fear this day, even in a so-called enlightened age. After Eric had secured that small amount of blood, the girl would become his creature. Then he would drain her arteries at leisure in his laboratory, which still exists as he left it. As a matter of fact, the old villain was probably merely a first-class hypnotist with a wide sadistic streak. But he makes a good story for Friday the 13th, doesn't he?
Yes. But why do you keep his awful bones in your home?
A matter of tradition. We Britons are governed always by that, you know. The old boy is said to have remarked before his death that if his bones weren't collected and kept in Rockwell Manor, and that if his laboratory and implements weren't preserved intact, that the house would be destroyed. The foolish believe that he had a purpose in that command, some idea of resurrecting himself from the dead. Mad story, isn't it?
Yeah. Now close that ghastly chest and let's go back to where it's light.
I'm for that. I brought you here for a ghostly thrill. I've given myself the shivers.
Don't close the chest, Jeff. Hold that lantern so I can look.
Judith, I never knew before that you possessed a morbid streak.
I didn't either. But those bones, that grinning skull, they fascinate me.
You're bearing out the legend, Mrs. Oliver. Old Eric was noted for fascinating women. But I'll close the chest now, if you don't mind, and we'll go back.
Yes, dear. I'm ready for another glass of birch brandy.
Wait, please. Let me close the chest.
If you wish.
Oh.
Dear.
But what's wrong?
Oh, I cut my finger on that rusty iron.
Hey, hold that lantern here, Bert.
Oh, I see your finger's bleeding.
Hey, I'll bind it with my handkerchief.
Oh, don't bother. It's just a scratch.
Bert!
Good Lord.
What's the matter?
Her blood has fallen on that skull.
Well, why should that...
Count those drops, Harry. I make 13. The devil's number. 13 drops of blood on the wizard's skull.
Honestly, Harry, if we hadn't known Mr. Rockwell for so long as the steadiest sort of person, I'd think he's a little mad.
Quiet, dear. His room's next to ours. He might hear you. He certainly became upset about that blood, didn't he?
His face was whiter than a sheet when we came out of that darkness into the lighted hall.
And so was his butler's when he heard what had happened. It was strange, though, that you should cut your finger and that just 13 drops of blood should fall upon those bones after what Bert had told us.
Yes. There were just 13 drops.
Exactly. I counted them. They all fell on top of the skull, and it absorbed them like blotting paper.
Coincidence, wasn't it?
Yes. If there was any superstition in my makeup, I'd have been more shaky about it than Bert.
Why? Would you think my blood could restore the old wizard to life?
Oh, that's ridiculous. Why did you want to close that closet, Judith?
I don't know. Just a mood, I guess.
Well, I'm tired. Let's go to bed.
All right. I'd better remove the handkerchief you bound around my finger and wash it thoroughly before I take off my dress. I don't want bloodstains on this new gown.
Yeah, I'll put some iodine on that cut.
Harry.
Huh?
This is funny.
What?
There's no blood on either my finger or the handkerchief.
No?
Yet the cut was bleeding profusely when you bound it.
Let's see.
Look.
That is funny.
The wound seems to have closed after those 13 drops.
Evidently.
Another coincidence, isn't it?
The cut's a tiny one. It's not remarkable that so little blood flowed from it.
Harry, there's still another coincidence that I haven't mentioned to you.
What do you mean?
When I reached out to close the lid of that chest, it fell upon my hand before I touched it.
Before you touched it?
Yes, it seemed to leap at me.
Now, look here, Judith. You're not letting Rockwell's story of that old sadist affect your good sense. You're not beginning to believe there's anything supernatural between this trifling accident?
No, of course not. I'll take off my dress and we'll go to bed.
We'd better. Bert's servants will be calling us for breakfast at 7.
Look out this window. The farmers are still keeping their bonfires to drive the evil things away.
Yeah, the idiots.
For hundreds of years, they've believed the powers of hell are strong on this day of the devil's number.
Dear, what's the matter with you?
Oh, this huge, spooky old house, I guess, and this old country. I'm being silly. Unhook my dress, dear.
I should say you are being silly. Now, hold still.
What's that?
What?
Outside, in the hall. Listen.
Sounds like footsteps. Footsteps of a lame man.
Yes. It stopped outside our door.
Well, I wonder who... Well, I haven't seen any lame servants about the place.
Now the steps are passing on.
Well, why should they have stopped here? I'm going to see.
No, no. Don't open that door.
Judith, let me go.
Don't open that door.
What's the matter with you?
Those steps came from where we saw that chest of bones from which your foot is missing.
Harry! Harry Oliver, let me in.
Bert!
Open your door. I've got to talk to you quickly.
Why, what's wrong?
Did you hear footsteps in this hall?
Yes.
They stopped outside this door and then went on.
I didn't imagine it, then. I didn't.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Wasn't it one of your servants out there?
That thing with a single foot, did it sound to you like anything human?
No, no. No, it didn't.
Have you both gone crazy?
I think I have. For ever since your wife's blood fell on those ghastly bones, I've been like a timid child in the dark. And since those footsteps came and went, I'm frankly terrified.
Bert!
Don't call me a fool, a coward, a madman. I can't help it. I've got to see what was walking in this hall.
Bert, come back here.
He's running towards that tower.
The man's out of his mind.
You've got to stop him. It was from there those footsteps came.
Oh, the footsteps won't hurt him, but he's liable to fall through a hole in those rotten floors without a light. I'll get him.
Harry, don't leave me.
Nothing's going to hurt you. Call the servants. Tell them to bring lanterns. I'll never be able to find Bert in this infernal blackness. Bert! Bert!
Yes. I'll call. Peter! Come here, quick!
Oh. Don't scream. Gaze into my eyes and obey whatever I tell thee.
You have no eyes. I see only a grinning skull. An awful skeleton that walks...
You will see what my will demands. You will see the man I was in life.
You are a man. I see that now. A man who wears a strange, ancient clothes. A man who has lost a foot.
And thou shalt act as my will demands. Thou shalt help me to become indeed the living man ye see.
No.
Yes.
No.
For the devil my master hath given thee to me. Come, I lead. Ye follow.
I follow.
Follow me and learn my master's power. Follow me and learn the magic of 13 drops of blood.
Those bones are missing from their chest, Harry. They're gone.
Someone's playing a practical joke.
Those bones are gone because the legend's true. Because your wife's blood has brought that monster back to life.
Oh, stop that, or you'll make me as crazy as you are. Now, leave me out of this darkness. I've got to see Judy. I've got to know that she's all right.
Wait, did you hear that?
What?
I heard a door close. Back in the old North Tower.
Why, I thought I did, too.
That's where Eric had his laboratory, where he worked his filthy magic.
Well, if we did hear a door, I'll not believe a dead hand closed it. What a fool I was to leave Judy.
Oh, she'll be all right. Don't pay any heed to my imbecile hysteria, old man. Go on, here's the passage that leads to the lighted hall. You can see your door from here.
Yeah, it's standing open that I left it. Judith probably has the servants with her now. Judith! Judy, dear! I found Bert and brought him back. Judith, why don't you answer me? Judith! Judith! She's not here. The room's empty.
Good Lord!
What are you staring at, Bert? What?
Look, impressed in this carpet. It's the footprint of a skeleton, of a single bony foot.
That door we heard closed. Judith!
Quick, to the tower, man! The tower!
Come. Come, we have little time to waste, my dear. Soon thy husband and the present master of this house will note thy absence and seek thee in this laboratory. But there is time enough. there is time enough for that which thou wilt do.
What must I do?
First, thou must prepare an altar to my master. For fear of the curse, they have left this chamber quite unchanged. In the scrollwork of yonder bridge under well, thou will find a carven serpent. Go on, press its head.
I press.
Yes, a panel opens. Put thy hand inside and draw forth two black candles. Black. Black for the worship of my master. Now, place them here. Place them here.
They are placed.
Now, from the sacred cupboard, take the tinder box and light them. Oh, my hands. Oh, Satan. They're still useless for thy work. They are hands of the dead and have no strength nor power. But thou hast restored my will, hast given me the means for my hands. Soon by her death, thou shalt give me back my life, O Satan.
The candles are lighted.
Bring forth yon earthen basin now, and the flask that lies beside it. Unstop the flask and pour its contents in the bowl. It's the holy oil of hell. Oil from fat of newborn babes. Now, place it here. Place it here between the candles. Now from the cupboard, take yon keen-edged knife, and with it in thy hand, recline upon the altar. Thou art to be the sacrifice. Thy husband comes, but he will be too late.
The door's locked. Are you inside there, Judith? Answer me.
Answer not. Lie thou on the altar.
I do as you command.
I heard her voice. She's in there.
But now, the dead is in there, too.
The dead shall soon be alive. Warm blood shall enter his bones and the flesh again.
He means
hunger. Together, man. Break down the door. Break it. God, help us.
Raise thy knife, woman, and strike it to thy heart.
Oh, don't do this.
Harry.
Raise not his voice. Obey it not. Obey me.
Oh, Jordy, listen to me.
Now, strike. Strike that knife into your heart, I say.
No, no.
The door's giving, Harry. Come on, let's
quick, get... quick,
come
quick. On, use on. That knife, then I may have my blood.
Don't shoot it. Don't.
Strike. Strike.
Oh, God, don't let her.
Strike. Devil in hell, my master. Satan lend power to my long dead will. By the 13 drops of blood thou didst give me from this woman, make her give me all the flame within her veins.
No! Oh, heaven!
I call on hell! Strike, woman! Strike!
I obey.
Judith!
Strike!
Stop her!
Woman, turn thy blade on them who stay here.
I can't hold her. She's all the strength of hell.
Stop him! Strike!
She's cut me. Burn her knife with my arm.
I have thy blood. Thou, too, will be in my power.
Don't let those bony hands touch that arm. You'll be under his spell as she is.
I can't stop him.
The blood! Thy blood! Just 13 drops!
His hands are clawing at me.
I've got a knife. I've got it. Now, look out! I've knocked the lighted candle in this oil.
The oil is spreading flames all around the room.
Fire is the only way to stop this monster, the one way to destroy him.
Not if he escapes.
He's stuck in the flames.
He's out the door.
I couldn't follow him.
The woman still remains my slave. Her blood yet will give me life.
Stop him, Bert. Stop him. You have a gun, the one Peter gave you. Shoot.
Lead and bullets won't destroy a thing of hell.
We have nothing else. He's going away with Judith. Try.
I'll try, but there's no hope.
Stop, Bert. Fallen
in a scattered heap of bones.
Harry.
Judith's calling. Coming back to me. The devil's spell is lifted from her.
Oh, Harry, darling.
My dear.
But lead and bullets couldn't destroy a thing of hell. They couldn't.
You said the dum-dum bullets in that pistol were made by cutting a cross upon the nose bird.
A cross? Yes, a cross. A sign of heaven.
We must get out of here and rouse the servants. Those flames can't be stopped now. Soon this house will fall as old Eric prophesied.
Wait. Listen.
The clock is striking. Midnight.
The devil's day is over.
Well, that's the end of that, Satan. You folks looks out for Friday the 13th when it comes your way.
The Witch's Tale on Tuned to Yesterday from May 2nd, 1938. That show comes from Australia, though the script was first heard on American radio on December 12, 1935. You're listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, the Armed Forces Radio Service program, Macabre, one of eight surviving broadcasts of the series, this, the third episode, from November 27, 1961, called The Man in the Mirror.
Space. He lives in the spectrum of the universe. When he ventures beyond this limit, he is in the unknown, a realm where strange forces are brought into play. When man attempts to misuse these forces, he is sometimes destroyed. This is Macabre. Far East Network presents, in special performance, Macabre. Tonight's story, The Man in the Mirror.
These freeways, always working on them. Only two lanes here. Why can't they make their repairs on off hours? No, gotta blast away during rush hour traffic. What's the matter with that guy ahead? How come he's slowing down? That'll teach him. Boy, I'm tired. Hard day at the office. Peg's got a hot supper waiting at home. I'd like to get there sometime today. That guy ahead didn't pay any attention to me at all. Come on, Buster, speed it up. 36, I want to get home. Okay, I'll pass you then. My four-barrel car will leave you in nothing flat, buddy. How's that for speed, eh? Hey, truck, I can see it coming. Get on collision. Oh, no, no, no. Can't get away.
All right. Clear this area. Let's have a car here. Stand back. Everybody.
Get a cutting patch, Joe.
Hold it, Crawboys. We need
come on there, get
work.
Back now. Move on.
You see him, Jerry?
So much blood. But I think he's bent over the steering wheel down there.
Shine that light where you mean.
Good. See him now?
Move your light up just a bit.
Like this?
Yeah. Hold it there. Good Lord.
What's wrong, man?
I hope you've got a strong stomach, pal.
What's eating you?
Look down there. Where his face should be.
I don't see it at all.
Yeah. That's what I mean. This one, nurse.
Careful, you may be conscious, doctor.
I doubt it. Another minute or two, and she'll be all over. As long as the blood pulse.
He's beating too fast.
Yes, poor fellow. Even if he lived, couldn't get through life like this.
Doctor, respiration irregular.
Won't be long, I'm afraid. Scalpel.
I can hear every word they're saying. I can't move. I'm paralyzed.
Scissors.
The accident. Truck. I know what happened.
Sponge.
Almost nothing left of my head. Don't give up, Doc. Try to save me.
He missed it.
Respiration shallow.
Nothing will be of it. Nothing can save this man.
Please, Doc, don't quit. I know you can't hear me, but please try. Help me, Doc. Don't shake your head. I'm not homeless. I want to live.
Doctor?
Yes?
Respiration stopped.
I see.
Don't give up. I want to live. I don't want to die.
Are you going to open his chest, Doctor?
Heart massage.
Yes.
Absolutely hopeless. There isn't a chance.
He may take another breath in a moment.
Another breath? Yes. Yes, I will. Don't give up. You'll see. I hope. Breathe.
You'd better wash up, nurse.
Oh, don't leave.
A breath, Doctor.
Spasmodic. Probably his last.
I'm still alive, Doc. Try to save me. Help me, for God's sake.
Stethoscope.
Please don't let me die. I'm afraid. Why did I have to pass that car? I'd give anything to live it over again. Anything. Can someone help me? Oh, God. Oh.
Perhaps I can, John Randall.
Oh, call my name.
It was I, John Randall.
You're not the doctor.
Indeed, I'm not. Did I hear you say you would give anything not to die?
Yes, yes, anything.
I thought so. John Randall, I'll save your life for a price.
Anything you
say. Let me finish. I can turn back the clock, return you to the freeway before the accident. It will be as if nothing had happened at all.
But that's impossible.
You haven't much choice, John.
It's crazy. How can you expect me to believe a thing like that?
Is he dead, Doctor?
I'll know in a moment, nurse.
You have no time to argue. Decide quickly. When you die, you'll be beyond my reach.
Oh, I'm sinking. Growing weaker. It's all...
You're dying. Decide.
It's a bargain.
Good. In just a moment, it'll be 1 hour ago. You'll be on the freeway driving home in your car. But remember, John Randall, I'll be back 1 week from tonight to settle.
Where will I find you?
In the mirror. Just look for me in your bedroom mirror. Goodbye, John. Don't forget our little agreement.
Why can't they make their repairs on off hours? No, gotta blast away during rush hour traffic. What's the matter with that guy ahead? How come he's slowing down? That'll teach him. Hey, just had one of those familiar feelings. As if this had happened before. Strange. Now it's gone. Seems I almost remembered something unpleasant. I dozed off for a minute, I guess. Yeah. Dreamed it. Sure. No other explanation. A relief. I gotta get home. Peg's having steak for supper. And she's one wife who expects her husband to be on time.
My, you were hungry tonight, John. You ate like a condemned man at his last meal.
Peg!
Oh, I startled you, darling. Why so deep and quiet?
Nothing. Just thinking.
John, I honestly believe you've been working too hard, especially since you fell asleep driving home today. Oh, let's take a week off together and run down to Mother's.
A week?
Yes, dear. We haven't vacationed in 2 years, not since we were married. Mother says we can have the cottage on the lake.
You called your mother?
Just before you came home. Please, John, she wants us to come down. It's really a very nice lake. And you know how you like to fish.
I don't think the office can spare me.
Ask them.
It takes time. We need plans. I just pick up and leave my job anytime I want.
Say yes, darling. It'll be our second honeymoon. And I don't see much of you anymore.
Oh, Peg. What would I do without you?
Oh, not too well, I hope. Darling, I love you. Tell you what. Call that old law firm you slave for and tell him not to expect you back for a week.
But, Peg, I can't...
John! This bruise. Did you hurt your forehead?
Sore. Don't touch it.
How'd it happen?
I don't know. I probably banged it and I fell asleep driving home.
That settles it. I'll call Mother in the morning and tell her to expect us. You need more rest, darling. Why, one of these days you may be killed driving home in all that traffic. Read the paper now while I clear away the dishes.
All right, Peg. I'm overworking. That blackout on the freeway today. Not like me. This head bruise. I've never had an hallucination in my life. I'll start now. I'll check this thing out.
City Hospital.
This
is the City Hospital. May I help you?
Yes. Would you check to see if a man hurt in a collision died there this afternoon?
What was his name, please?
Randall. John Randall.
Thank you. Just a moment.
This is ridiculous. Asking about my own death. Must be crazy. Got to know. Sure. Couldn't have happened. It's all real.
Hello?
Yes. Did you find it?
The emergency has no record of a John Randall accident victim.
No record? You haven't made a mistake?
No. Who's calling, please?
Who's calling? Lady, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
What's the matter?
Can't sleep. It's too hot, I guess.
It's nearly 5. Time to get up soon. Want some hot coffee?
Maybe I'll drop off for a nap.
You haven't slept all night?
I don't think so.
John, something must be wrong. You always sleep like a log.
Don't get excited now, Peg.
Shall I call the doctor? You know, you've been working too hard.
No, I'm fine. Will you keep quiet so I can try to get some rest, though?
Oh, all right. You haven't said a thing about going to Mother's.
Peg, I'm dead tired now. Shut up, will you?
John, what's that on your forehead?
No tricks, young lady. Now turn over and keep quiet.
Darling, wait. I'll turn on the light. John! It's blood!
What?
Your forehead, it's bleeding.
No, Peg. No, it didn't happen. I imagined the whole thing. Accident, really? Didn't happen.
Accident? John, you lie right there. I'll call Dr. Shane.
Don't, Peg.
You must have cut a vein. Look at your pillow. You've been bleeding all night.
I've examined you thoroughly, John. I can't find a thing really wrong. But we may have to go to my office for further tests.
How do you explain the blood, Doc?
I don't. There's no evidence of a wound at all.
Where'd all this blood come from?
That presents a puzzle. Of course, we're not really certain it's really your own blood. We'll have to make tests. In the meantime, why don't you tell me the truth?
What are you talking about?
John, I've been your family doctor for many years. You're as healthy as they come. Now you hint of some accident that never happened. You complain of a soreness in the region of the forehead. And all this blood from some imaginary wound. Now, really, what do you expect me to think?
Doc, you think I'm crazy.
I didn't say that.
You don't have to.
There's more to this than meets the eye.
The understatement of the year.
Ah, put yourself in my place. What would you say?
Sunday to the hospital, I guess.
That's more like it. Now tell me what really happened. Start with the blood.
I can't answer that.
If you want me to help, you'll have to tell the truth.
I'm trying to, Doc.
It couldn't possibly have come from you.
But I...
There isn't a mark on your body. Who do you think you're kidding?
Impossible. Doc, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Yeah. Give it a try. They might.
Maybe I should have died on that operating table.
What?
All right. I'll tell you. You'll think I'm nuts, but so help me, it's the truth. All started yesterday, and I was driving home on the freeway. I thought I had an accident.
What do you mean, thought? Aren't you certain?
Let me finish, Doc. I hit this truck. They rushed me to the hospital. I was dying. Face torn off. Blood everywhere. And then, just before I died, a voice called to me. Knew my name and everything. He said he would save me for a price. I had to agree.
What did he ask?
Didn't say. Just said he'd be back in a week to settle.
Where are you supposed to meet this man?
That's the funniest part. He said to look in my bedroom mirror, and he'd be there.
Then what?
Found myself back on the freeway, said nothing had happened. I got home, I checked the hospital. They had no record of an accident victim of my name.
I could have told you that.
What do you think, Doc? I'm not trying to pull a fast one. I'm scared.
You blacked out for a moment while on the freeway, fatigued from overwork. I've ruled out the possibility of a small stroke. Recovery was too rapid.
Blacked out?
Fatigue acts in strange ways, John. Sometimes makes it difficult to separate fantasy from reality. You pushed yourself to the breaking point. You'll have to be careful.
You don't believe it happened?
Yes, yes, it certainly did. But only in your mind.
Sounds reasonable. What about my forehead? It's pretty sore.
Probably sympathetic.
That leaves the blood.
If it weren't for that, I'd dismiss you right now with just a warning to slow down. I'm taking a sample of it back to the office with me. I want you to come along.
What about Peg?
Leave her home. We'll call her later. There's something here I don't quite understand.
Hello?
Mrs. Randall?
Yes?
This is Dr. Shane.
Oh, how is John? What did you find out?
That's what I want to talk to you about. He's in the other room. He can't hear us.
Is it serious?
The blood on the pillow matches. It's his, all right. But I can't figure out where it came from. He checks normal in every way, with one exception.
Oh?
The results of the EEG test show a brainwave irregularity. Now, it would seem that John received a hard blow on the head. However, I can find no physical evidence to verify this.
What does it mean, Doctor?
Hard to tell at this point. I think he's nervously exhausted from overwork, practically in a state of shock from this nightmare of a freeway accident. And that's pure fantasy. You must help him overcome it, Mrs. Randall.
My mother wants us to visit her for a week on the lake.
Splendid. By all means, go in and make John rest.
Do you think he'll be able to leave today?
The sooner the better. And Mrs. Randall?
Yes, Doctor?
Your husband has a fixation about some man in a mirror. It's a dangerous thing. It might grow. Try to convince him it never happened.
Oh, darling, we'll have so much fun.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Mother's given us the house on the lake where we can be all alone together.
Second honeymoon, Peg.
And we'll forget that thing on the freeway.
We'll forget it.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Oh, John, I'm so glad you're sensible about it.
Kiss?
Mm.
I love you, Peg.
Oh, I brought the tennis racket.
She talks about tennis at a time like this.
Oh, let's hurry, darling.
Sure, Peg. We deserve one last good time together.
How about some more eggs?
Oh, thanks. Coffee would be nice, though.
Coming up. Oh, this country air is wonderful. 5 whole days of fishing, tennis, dancing, and fun.
Pass the donuts, Peg.
Yes, my lord master.
Got you pretty well trained. We'll have to relax like this more often.
Oh, darling, it's so good to see you laugh. We can't let you get down like that again, can we?
I wasn't so bad.
They'll miss you at that old law firm. John, if they don't make you a full partner, you're not going back.
Well, what'll we do today?
Oh, it's beautiful this morning. I know. Take me to the village to shop.
Okay. I get my coat, and off we go.
Honey, haven't you forgotten something?
What?
Mr. Randall, do you realize that in the 5 days we've been here, you haven't shaved once?
I know, Peg.
Well, look at yourself, dear. You'll have to before we go shopping. Here, take my compact and see how you look in the mirror.
No!
John! You ruined it! You deliberately threw it on the floor!
I'm sorry. Really, Peg.
But why? Oh, John, you didn't want to look in the mirror.
Peg.
Oh, what a fool I've been. You're not getting over it. It's growing worse.
Don't cry, darling. I'm trying.
You believe that man is real, don't you?
I don't want to, Peg. I don't want to.
Oh, Dr. Shane warned me about this. He said it's up to you, John. You have to make up your own mind. It's only fantasy. Or you might spend the rest of your life in that other world.
Is that bad?
Yes, darling. Please, please try.
It's like telling my right hand my left one doesn't exist.
Oh, you've got to try.
All right, I'll try.
Dr. Shane said if you give in, they'll have to take you away.
John, are you feeling all right? Darling, why don't you answer? It's not daylight yet. He's not in bed. Where is he? John? John?
Shh! I'm here. By the window.
What's the matter, darling? Don't you feel well?
Quiet.
Look out there. Can you see anything?
Just the lake, the moon, and the trees on the other side.
Shh!
Listen. There is something out there.
Maybe a dog.
No. Dogs aren't that large.
What did you see?
I can't be sure. When I woke up, a shadow was at this window.
My poor darling.
Don't pity me, Peg.
But Dr. Shane said fixations with a time limit usually leave after the limit has passed.
Shh, be quiet.
There's nothing out there. Now come back to bed. This is the seventh and last day, darling. That man's not coming back because he never existed in the first place. Please, John. You just have to get by today, and then you'll be free. It's so peaceful on the porch here by the lake. What's the time?
Almost seven. Time's passed. We're safe.
John, I'm proud of you. You won, darling. You stood your ground and won.
Yeah, really a sweat, eh?
It just had to end this way. No one believes in witches and phantoms anymore. We're too scientific.
Yeah, I can think clearly for the first time in a week, now that it's over.
Oh, we have this wonderful lake all to ourselves tonight. Mother went to the village, and no one for miles around. Isn't it romantic?
Thanks for standing by me.
Is that a proposal, sir?
Darling. What'd you like to do this evening?
Walk around the lake?
Hey, not bad. Hold on while I get some cigarettes in the bedroom.
All right.
I didn't cut an artery. It's the devil's work. She's here. You don't have to hide. I know you're here.
My, my. Quite messy.
You did come back. Where are you?
In due time, friend. You didn't expect me to forget our appointment, did you?
I'm bleeding to death. You haven't helped me a bit.
You were badly mashed up. Difficult to remove all the traces.
What is it you want?
Merely as a timekeeper. To say... Time's up.
Dr. Shane says you're a figment of my imagination.
So,
you're not real.
And how do you know Dr. Shane is real?
Because I can see him and talk to him.
Can you not talk to me?
I've never seen you.
Look into that mirror.
Oh.
Look!
God,
you're a strange lot. You deny the existence of other worlds because you cannot see them. Have you ever seen a thought in your head? Of course not. Does that make it less real?
I don't owe you a thing.
Your agreement was for 1 week of life. That has been fulfilled. You should have followed your destiny and died in the accident. But you chose another path and bargained with me.
My life is over.
Will you join me in the mirror?
Mrs. Randall, I'm the coroner. You know, of course, your husband's dead. Don't see how he could have had such a terrible accident in a bedroom. Main point I can't figure, though, is why you didn't call me sooner. Mr. Randall's been dead a week.
Just heard Macabre, a special Far East Network presentation. Macabre comes to you each week at this time through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Macabre, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 27, 1961, exclusively heard at that time by Armed Forces Radio listeners. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.